With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Company, but four's a ramble, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here too.
All right.
And he's back from Japan. It's the people's champion, Pete Donaldson.
Hello. I'm back and ready to get started once again.
Welcome to this thing called the Football Ramble, ladies and gentlemen. Pete, he's back!
I mean, our listeners are delighted. I tweeted this morning, Pete, a little picture of you with a flat cap on, looking innocent and very, very happy.
Looking like the crazed granddad.
That tweet, you were looking a bit like the crazed granddad. And that tweet went, I think the kids call it postal.
Postal.
Somebody retweeted 8 times, I noticed. There now, who's doing that? Who wants that on their title? Who wants to give that to the people?
I think that actually was
let people love you.
Yeah.
I think that actually was the Craig's granddaddy tweet.
He's coming for you.
He's still alive. It's just good to be back. It's good to give Luke a reason to talk about clothing again.
In the pod.
PT's in the pod. Everybody, PT's in the pod. PT's in the pod.
For an hour now.
An hour and four.
I noticed, Jim, Pete singing along to that. A bit arrogant for my taste.
No, I like it. I got into it. I'm very jet-lagged. There's a fridge upstairs, and I've never done this podcast in this studio before. There's a fridge upstairs that has two different sizes of Coca-Cola in it. There's the full-size cans, and there's the smaller cans.
Did you think your perspective had gone all
right? I picked up a fun-size can and thought my hand had got big.
The giant.
Yeah. I had a bit of an emotional breakdown.
What I find quite interesting...
And then I choked on a toffee penny.
Is Pete, you've obviously been away. You've not been in the Premier League loop. But as you were talking about the cans, you glanced down at your notes, which suggests that you've made it... That was in your notes.
I glanced down at the can in front of me.
Did you?
I've got one in front of me.
I thought to myself...
Are you having problems as well?
If that's the content that you're coming out with, my goodness.
You've got two. Did you get two small ones rather than just pick up a normal-sized one?
I'm double-fisting, mate. Tiny Diet Coke.
Let's not do any football chat today.
No.
Let's not do any, because Pete doesn't want to, do you, Pete?
I think you're gagging not to talk about the football. I think that seems to be the thing.
Peter, just the listeners will want me to ask you this. Did you have a nice time in Japan?
I had a nice time. I saw two mummies. I went on local Japanese radio. Mm-hmm. I went to the beach and found a beach about as rough looking as Hartlepool Beach. Yeah.
Wow. You made your debut on Japanese radio. That's very impressive. And you did it in Japanese.
No, I did some of it in Japanese.
Yeah,
but
that's good.
It wasn't very, you know, very...
Don't pick him up, mate.
It was very Jonathan Woodgate's first press conference. Let's put it that way.
You get sent off as well.
Score an on goal, get sent off.
So you created two mothers and you went on Japanese radio.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Excellent.
A successful trip. It feels to our listeners and to us that you've been away for far too long, so welcome back, my man.
Sorry, everyone, but I'll do it again, so it'll be ours.
Indeed. At least you'll let us know this time. To the Premier League, Peter.
Yes.
Manchester City.
Oh, we're not leaving with the one all.
That'll come up later. There's plenty of time for that, mate.
What a win at the Bridge. What a win. They are playing like Keegan's Newcastle.
Swashbuckling.
Swashbuckling
stuff. The buckles are swashed.
Some people are saying that was the biggest game of the season so far, Jim. In terms of the title, certainly it was.
I think it's certainly the biggest test of two sort of legitimate contenders that we've seen so far. One of the things that struck me about this game is there are times it almost looks like it's sort of slightly sped up. You know, the real top teams have such pace and also pace while with the ball that it almost looks slightly Benny Hill-esque. And it gives you sort of like... But conversely, if Benny Hill was supposed to be good and not chaotic, it gives you a sort of measure of the gulf between the elite clubs, which I think are kind of separating even further from the others than everybody else. And if this really, really does feel like a Guardiola team, doesn't it? When you look at Bayern and you look at Barcelona, the way that they would impose their game on an opponent, regardless of who that is, and just force them to play that way. They were magnificent.
I couldn't agree more, Jim. And I would go as far to say that everybody looks like they're having a lovely old time. Even Fabian Delph's having a lovely old time. Even at left back.
Not only did Guardiola manage to tease a left back performance out of Fabian Delph, and you know, the build up to this game, a lot of the talk was about Aguero and this injury from this car accident. A terrible situation. But not enough people for my taste were mentioning this loss of Benjamin Mendy, who's been fantastic. He looks like an absolute colossus. We've said it over and over again. And Guardiola sticks Delph in there. He plays well. Not only does he play well, he looks like he's enjoying it.
Yeah.
It's the only time...
That's what I mean.
I could think of, and I was thinking earlier, of a midfielder being asked to fill in at sort of what can be quite a sort of thankless position at fullback, left back as well, and go, yeah, I can do that, and I'm having a lovely time.
I mean, James Milner did it, but he didn't look like he was having a particularly lovely time.
But James Milner's
does he ever, though?
No, but James Milner's never either happy or sad, so it's impossible to know.
It's neutral.
Yeah, so
Schrodinger's emotion.
But and also, I mean, De Bruyne, who's, you know, one of the very best players in the league, of course, he made a difference in a big game, and that is how players do get remembered at the end of the season.
Fast becoming an early contender for that player of the season.
Well, we always say he looks like a ghost. And he's slightly sort of supernatural at the moment with the way he's playing. It's magnificent. One thing I love about Guardiola's philosophy is his response to Fabian Delph scoring an absolute worldie is to stick him at fullback. And it working brilliantly well.
Do it from there.
Yeah.
If you've got goals in you, I'll put you back and then I'll put someone on the pitch who does definitely have goals in them, and then we got them everywhere.
But City were by far the better team, and they got the tactics right, didn't they? Chelsea looked like... It's a bit of a strange situation
to see. This is the Manchester City who lost their... probably their best striker. I mean, Jesus is looking different class as well. That they lose Sergio Aguero, you know, a day before the match or whenever it was, and they shape up, if you like, against Chelsea without him, and they were blisteringly good. And this Man City side, Guardiola has got his teeth and claws into this team and knows exactly what to do with them. Yes, he spent an awful lot of money. You'd think for a few hundred million quid, so he should do. But it's often a little bit more than just that. And everyone is relaxed, enjoying themselves, as you say, Luke. I'd go as far to say, the way it's going, the way that the team spirit is, the way everybody knows their jobs and so on and so forth, they could even win the Champions League this year. It's looking that good.
You said they're enjoying themselves. Did Pep's Bayern do that, for example? Did they look like a kind of fun side to be around and to watch?
The first time I really watched Bayern Munich.
Pep's Guardiola. Pep Bayern's Guardiola Munich.
The Rio Guardiola.
Was away to Manchester City
right.
in the Champions League when I think they beat them 3-1. Mm. And they looked fantastic.
Yeah. Mm. Well, he puts a lot on the social lives of players, doesn't he? Because he's resisted any opportunity.
How's that worked out this week?
Are you going on the quote, Jim?
No, yeah, go on.
When he was asked about what he thought of Sergio Aguero, what was he doing abroad and so on and so forth, and he said, it was his day off, I'm not the police.
Well, yeah, very much
I'm
so,
the Pep police.
Apparently, he's very keen for players to actually have a social life so that they're a bit more relaxed and then they do feel, you know.
Didn't he just make them go to the
open.
Cinema once?
This stuff like that, and he tries to have them have like dinner together after matches and stuff like that, and he apparently he has club officials ringing the players' houses to make sure they're in bed before midnight, which I don't understand, because if they are, surely you wake them up. So I don't know how that works.
Just put a camera in.
I love that. Ring the house. Hello? Get back to bed.
just do a little kind of like a sexy kind of like, you up? ?
Yeah.
In their WhatsApp. And if it's red, or if they go online, last seen, whatever.
You okay, hun?
Speaking of the ride, he apparently also encourages the players to have sex with their partners, but not before midnight.
Is that right?
Before games.
Isn't that a Disney story?
Hang on, not before midnight.
Not before midnight.
After midnight?
There's no gremlins involved.
Sorry, Jim.
Before midnight.
Sorry, okay.
Did I say after midnight?
You said not before midnight.
He's forcing them to what? Sorry?
He's not forcing anyone to do anything.
There's your title football, eh? There's your pressing game. Come on, everybody. That's not what we want to talk about.
To go back to your chat, Marcus, about Manchester City for the Champions League, I always feel like contractually bound to say that they started the season very, very well last year.
Not like this.
They won the first 10 games in a row.
Not like this.
Okay. No, I think didn't they possibly have more points at this stage?
You should know that if you're going to bring that to the table, Jim. Did they or not?
I don't know. There
we go,
see? I remember possibly in the last game, that Guardiola himself made that case after the game.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That rings a bell. The injured Benjamin Mendy, he's having a great time as well. Yeah. He's out for a long time, and then he was posting videos and photos of him going in and out of surgery. And he was absolutely loving the fact that the member of the hospital staff looked like Jesse Rodriguez. Yeah. But the way he was almost like...
beam on his face while going into the operating
room. I saw him with sunglasses in the hospital bed, which I quite liked. It is bright in hospital, to be fair.
Yeah. He's excellent on Twitter. He really is very good.
A lot of fun.
There was a journalist who got in touch, wrote a tweet about his injury, and him just saying to him, "You are a journalist. Why are you tweeting like qualified doctor? not even I know what's wrong with me yet, lol."
it's always a lull.
Yeah. City's Mendy. Lost is Twitter's game.
And I hope he is on the Mendy soon.
Yeah, me too. And he also spent the game just live tweeting it, didn't he, basically?
Did he?
He was obviously watching it from his hospital bed, yeah.
He'd be a great member of on and off the pitch of any squad.
If you've ever been in hospital, you've got to pay a lot of money for those little tellies nowadays.
I know,
like you stick bloody coins in and the phone cards and all that nonsense.
Even on the NHS?
Especially on the NHS.
Of course.
Subsidised, mate.
Yeah. But Pete, you surely go private, don't you? When you're in there having your stuff done, your
mine are many cosmetic
plastic
ones.
Well. Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, it's Harley Street. I'm getting stuff pulled out or put in.
That's right, yeah, exactly. That's actually where you've been the last couple of weeks, isn't it? We concocted on the cover story, but you are looking very well.
I'm looking fantastic.
Your hair looks completely different.
He went off on the stretch. Yeah. So there we are. Of course, Sergio Aguero, he missed the match, as we said. He was involved in a car crash in the Netherlands. He was over there watching a concert by Colombian singer Malumba. Are we familiar with Malumba?
No, this is the first I heard of this.
Yeah, he describes himself as an urban performer. A bit like yourself, Peter.
Mm. Yeah.
But he did state, unlike yourself, that on his last three albums, there are ballads, mambo, merengue and reggaeton and underground stuff.
Hearing you say reggaeton is the whitest thing I think I've ever heard in my life.
I think he's actually called Maluma, not Malumba.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So I think that's why I hadn't heard of him. Oh. Is he Colombian?
He is, yeah.
Yeah, he's called Maluma, yeah. There we go. Look,
what's wrong with me saying reggaeton?
It's just the way you say it. I don't know. I just want a bit more.
You
pizzazz.
Say it then.
No. God, no. What's wrong with you, Marcus? Yeah.
Don't be disrespectful, Peter. Stay within yourself. That's what
Stay
I was saying.
You've
yourself.
Been back 11 minutes.
That's what I've been doing.
I've been
week.
Out to the clubs of Latin America before with the old reggaeton going on.
Yeah. That also sounded really old.
Shook my head all the way through it.
Did you do any boggling?
Hello? Does it have to be so loud? God, you must be freezing.
Yeah.
Even in this heat.
Yeah. Hashtag travel. But yeah.
Marcus, hashtag daggering.
If Manchester City did win the league, will they celebrate at Gary Neville's new nightclub in Manchester called Mahiki? That's what I want to know.
I hope so. That would be a very passive-aggressive move.
Isn't that Mahiki's the big one in London, isn't it?
It's one from London that's opened a branch in Manchester. Yeah, I think Beckham and Neville might have been behind the expansion.
Well, Neville was. They were there on the opening night, of course, among other people.
Oh, Beckham was just there. He was not involved.
But obviously,
this.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
Wearing a bit of denim.
Yeah, drinking a bit of Hague Club. He's always gone about that, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, hey, yeah. Kind of like really unwieldy bottle.
Yeah, blue.
It's like, just put it in a glass, mate.
Yeah. Looks like a bottle of aftershave.
It does, very much so, yeah.
Surely you want to get William Hague advertising that.
Big time! Big time. It's spelled differently, sadly, but that would be good.
He'd drink eight pints of it, wouldn't he?
Yeah. With his baseball cap on.
Oh, my goodness. Of course, as for Chelsea, after the international break, they play Crystal Palace to get themselves back on the horse.
It's always nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Always nice.
Yeah, indeed.
Crystal, I wouldn't be surprised if Roy Hodgson said, look, let's just have a good old time, enjoy ourselves as much as we can. After the Chelsea game, that's when our season starts. Right?
Yes.
He must have done that because they're having a horrendous time of it.
Yeah, he'll have, what, one game left till it's four and he gets sacked?
I think he's already had four, hasn't he? He's already had them.
Nice to see Ladapo get a little run out against Man United.
We were talking about it last week, weren't we?
Indeed,
he was the subject of our Twitter audiogram, wasn't he? A little Batman mask on.
That's right.
It's good to see him feature.
Wonderful stuff. Are we done with Manchester City? There's an awful lot more we can talk about.
You've already given the league title, mate. There's nothing more to say.
No, the Champions League title.
And the Champions League, yeah.
Double. Big double. Yeah. And the FA Cup, why not?
Yeah.
The treble. They're going on for the treble. Unless Manchester United or Tottenham Hotspur can stop them, because Spurs look brilliant against Huddersfield. We talked about them on the preview show last week. They went away in the Champions League. Kane scored a perfect hat-trick. Then to go away in the Premier League.
So everyone's talking Spurs down at the moment, sort of saying, oh, they're not in the race. What are you talking about?
They've gone under the radar a little bit, haven't they?
Yeah.
They
managed to do that last season.
It's because of their home form in the league, Peter. But away from home, when they put in performances like they did away at Huddersfield against a tricky opponent who have not conceded many goals this season, they were blisteringly good. And it wasn't just Kane that was blisteringly good as well, even though he, of course, was. Yeah.
They weren't bullied.
I think it was a performance of the weekend, actually.
Man City.
And we mentioned. No, I think. Well, yeah, of course. Fair enough. That would be the two that you would pick, I think.
Yeah. Spurs scored three more goals than Man City.
For very different reasons, of course. I mean, you know, the challenge presented to Man City was obviously slightly different. But I thought they were every bit as good as City were when they beat Watford 6-0. I thought Spurs could have easily scored six, especially given that Huddersfield haven't looked too bad, especially at home. They look quite well organised,
robust as well. Like people, they do kick the crap out of players.
That's
kind of their game plan. It was their game plan of the Championship, and they will get found out eventually. But they're really hard to break.
What
down.
Was that the finding out?
Were Newcastle on the end of one then last season against Huddersfield?
Yeah.
Well, they okay, right.
Well, then Huddersfield beat them at home 1-0 this season, didn't they? Mm. But Jim, you've been impressed. Well, we've all been impressed by Harry Kane, obviously. But you were saying something just before we came on that he's found another level.
Yeah, I think even if you look at the sort of the incredible season he had last year, it does look like he stepped up again. Because people are starting to sort of say, like, he's in the bracket with, you know, your Messis and your Suarez's and things like that. And if you look at that second goal that he scored, the pattern of play there is that's a goal we've seen Lionel Messi score a million times. You know, that sort of cutting in, shuffling around three or four players, then angling a shot in. And players at that level, where they're really, really at the top, they think a few moves ahead of other players. And I sort of almost compare it to like Sherlock Holmes's mind palace. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Where they've
got
so many different options. And as we say about him all the time, he can score every different type of goal. So, you know, I know it's early in the season, but you'd expect him to have some pretty stellar sort of reward from his effort this year. Even the offside goal, I know that doesn't count, but the technique on that was ridiculous.
Does kind of his charisma off the field kind of affect the way that we look at him on the field?
Well, that's a really interesting
because
point.
Because he is as thick as pig shit. And
Peter!
I'm just saying, if he spoke in a foreign language, we wouldn't know.
I don't know if that.
There was a really. There
just
was
because you speak in a foreign language.
There was a really. I've personally found a really interesting point about. I don't know. It might have been about 10 years ago now, possibly not that long ago. But when people were mentioning, if you guys remember, Wayne Rooney, in the same sort of category as Messi and Ronaldo, around that sort of time. Do you remember that was happening?
Yeah.
But just before that, a few people I read at the time were saying that Wayne Rooney's actually quite underrated because he's not, you wouldn't want to use his face on a traditional sort of modelling campaign. He's not that handsome. He's quite a sort of rugged looking guy.
Yes.
And so is
and
he underrated?
He was balding at the time, remember?
Exactly. Is he underrated for that reason? It's a fascinating point about Kane as well, because you wonder whether if he was a little bit more urbane, a little bit more sort of impressive, people would ramp him up even higher.
Well, they sort of go, oh, well, there's some thought behind this instead of just being an instinctual.
For example, Pete, what do you think's in Harry Kane's mind palace?
I imagine it's all IKEA furniture.
It's just goals.
Yeah. Just and furniture. Just furniture from the first bit of the IKEA store. Yeah, that'll do. All in there.
You know what? Not a palace as so much as a showroom.
A showroom.
Yeah. I must say about Kane, though, seeing him interviewed quite often, you know, interviewers still sort of react with surprise. Like, they're talking to him like this is his breakthrough season, going, oh, it must be brilliant doing all this. And he toes the line a lot, but says things like, oh, you know, I always back myself to score, I'm always confident. And that actually radiates. And you're seeing him really emerge as a proper leader for Spurs. And I think that will happen for England as well. And I think, you know, I think he comes across very well.
He's
doing the basics very well in an interview.
He comes across,
you know,
as very down to earth.
He's taken his media training in, you know?
Totally. I think that the point you make about Wayne Rooney is fine. But I actually think what you're saying, Peter, because he's quite unassuming and down to earth and not very, I suppose.
Erudite.
He's not a big time Charlie, is he?
No, he's not. I think that actually helps. I think that helps how we're talking about Kane and so on and so forth, because people think, oh, he's a good old fashioned English centre forward in that kind of down to earth when there wasn't so much a divide between fans and players. Yeah. Now, make what you will of that. But actually, I think in this particular occasion, it's now beginning to go in his favour, whereas maybe a year or two ago it wasn't.
But I heard you talk about Dele Alli last week, I think it was, talking about brand Dele Alli, and how he might deserve a little bit of time on the bench because he is growing that brand and he has become a little bit of for want of a better word or better three words, big time Charlie. Is that a kind of complete mirror image of that, because Dele Alli is a little bit more interesting in interviews? He's interviewed quite a lot. He is quite commercially viable.
Yeah, but it's what he's been doing on the pitch though, the middle finger, which has got him in trouble.
Exactly, that's charisma, isn't it?
Just swearing at people. Yeah, charisma.
He's a new Robin Friday.
You see a blog and a boss doing that to everybody, you're like, charismatic.
Yeah. Give that man a chat show.
Give that man a chat show. He knows where it's at.
Exactly,
I think that is how Ian Wright got his chat show, isn't
it? Swearing at a producer. Yeah. But yeah, I think with Dele Alli and Kane, that could be an interesting comparison in a few years' time. Yeah. You know, if Kane, if there's certain things happening off the field, you know, obviously we can't speculate and whatnot, but if Kane, his head is turned in a negative way, then could we be looking at those two and thinking, actually, Kane knuckled down? And
from memory, though, I think I wasn't. I think it was me who was talking about Dele Alli, and I wasn't necessarily talking about him having some time on the bench because of this stuff off the pitch.
No, but
he's broken with his agent, and there's a lot of other agents sniffing around. I mean, there may be an update on that situation that I haven't seen. But what I was talking about was he was going through a patch of sort of quite indifferent form, and so it wouldn't necessarily be, I mean, given the fact that I think the guy's still only 21 years old, it wouldn't be like the worst thing in the world.
No, I'm not saying benching a player because he's got, you know, an aftershave deal or something.
No.
But I tell you what,
whether it's like a whiskey bottle or not.
No. But even if Dele Alli was taken out that Spurs side for a little time or not, Spurs, the way they're all playing in that performance against Huddersfield is very encouraging indeed for Spurs.
I mean, if you look at the fact they're missing Dembele and Wanyama, who are, you know, ostensibly their first choice midfielders, they've not really missed them. They look so dynamic.
Harry Winks comes in, puts in a performance like that. Yeah. Wonderful passer of the ball.
And as we said last week, Pochettino getting a proper sort of performance out of Sissoko and finding a way to use his
attributes. Sissoko scored!
What a screamer!
What about that one, Peter?
I'll take it.
It's a beauty. Harry Winks is definitely the next in a long line of English midfielders that look after the ball to probably get about 8 England caps his whole career.
That many, do you think?
He just won't be appreciated.
Is that what England really need, Luke?
What, a player who looks after? No!
No.
No,
you
don't want to
get rid of it.
The problem is, Harry, you're making the right decision all the time.
Yeah. Harry, if you hold on to it, you may mess it up, and then goodness,
kick it into touch.
Yeah. If you hold on to this ball too much,
How's it going to get up there?
And lend it out to your mate and get it back. We might not even be in a position to get penalties and get and for you to miss one.
Can we just take a moment to appreciate, I mean, we don't want to talk about diving because it comes up all the time, but I love so much that Dele Alli's dive was when they were 3-0 up.
That's
cruising,
just like, and he had a chance to maybe square it or do something. Yeah.
The ball of the one, I thought when he, by the time he had dived, he was just like, ah, oh, this ball's gone. I'm doing it. Yeah. I'm doing it. Yeah.
I don't know. The fullbacks as well, though. As soon as Spurs, they sell Kyle Walker, obviously Rose isn't there. The next two coming forward, Pochettino is getting performances out of them. Trippier looked good,
looked
and obviously
fantastic.
Davis was among the goals.
Davis has looked fantastic. Mm. I mean, you wonder whether he had the legs and the pace to sort of replicate what Rose has done, but he's done brilliantly recently. And obviously, Aurier's got to come back as well, and he looks all energy and looks
Davis
really good.
Davis' goal was filth.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. It really was good.
Indeed. Are we ready to move on to Stoke City, where there was a tale of two strikers?
Mm.
Berahino, poor old Saido.
Berahino and Crouchy.
Yeah.
Berahino missed his fourth consecutive penalty and has gone bloody ages without scoring.
Yeah,
no goals.
You know what?
Since February 2016, Jim.
That works out as 31 hours, 48 minutes. Let's think about that. That's roughly the length of Narcos.
Yeah. The whole of Narcos, yeah.
I think 31 hours... I think I've gone shorter without scoring a goal.
Really?
Simply because I have 10 minutes here and 10 minutes there.
Yeah, I mean, right. You could have chosen another programme, perhaps, when we're talking about Berahino, couldn't you, Jim?
Different drug, Marcus. Different drug.
All the same.
It would only take... It would
against
only,
the law.
It would only take, Pete, about a century of years to notch up that amount of football, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
All of us now, these days, would take me. But he hasn't scored a single goal for Stoke City, is that right?
Mm.
So you'd like to think, I mean, I think he's made 17 Premier League appearances for Stoke.
Mm.
So you'd like to think, if someone who is like a moderately okay sort of semi-pro player, if you chuck them up front for a Premier League team, would they get a goal? Would they get a goal at some point?
Yeah.
Saido's under the pressure, and rightly so.
He is, yeah. Well, maybe because Crouchy's next to him, you know, big shoes to fill, literally, if not anything. Crouchy at 36 already has 3 this season. He's absolutely loving it. He tweeted afterwards, enjoyable.
Did he really?
Apparently.
It's great stuff.
That's what I saw his tweet. I assume it was after. Or during the game, maybe. He whips it out of his pocket.
He could go on and on. He's just
will he ever
himself.
Retire? You know, will he ever retire?
The thing with Crouch, though, he's such a unique player that he's never been about pace. He's always going to have suitors because he brings such a unique dimension.
Of course.
Like, joking aside, he could be like a Kanu figure and just go on and on and on.
Well into his 50s.
He's also in a situation in his career where he's 36 now. He seems like a pretty down to earth, reasonable guy. He doesn't expect to start every game.
Yep.
He's probably just loving the fact that he's still at a Premier League team.
Yep.
So when he comes on, he enjoys his football and he's got a knack for scoring a goal. He's pretty much had a knack for scoring a goal his whole career, really.
Yeah.
He's not been prolific everywhere, but he always gets one or two.
He does. When he was interviewed by Gary Lineker on Match of the Day, and he was saying, you know, are you happy with this bit part you're playing on the bench? And he said, well, obviously, I want to start games. I know I'm this old and blah blah blah. You could see in his mind he was that close to saying, yeah, I'm absolutely loving it, I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah,
but of course that wouldn't be the professional thing to
say. I'm off to a Miles Cairn concert now.
Hosted by Pete Donaldson.
Starting games does get in the way of my fledgling radio career, so I'm happy as I am at the moment.
Oh, good old Crouchy. We are going to talk about Newcastle and Everton.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I better go to the cash point and get some money, if I've got any money left.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Before we do that, it's correspondence time with Don Peter.
Yes, Don Peter, very, not hungover, what do you call it, jet lagged.
Yeah. Can you actually read?
I don't know, to be honest. Let's find out, shall we? This is from Embarrassed Geordie Ewan. You guys have been talking about embarrassing half-time presentations. I think I was there for that particular ramble. I thank myself that my beloved Newcastle United never had one. I mean, what I would say is we did have that plane. Newcastle United did have that plane.
No, but it wasn't on the pitch. We were talking about presenting.
Listen, I am not having this. I'm not an expert on this situation, on this subject, but let me tell you now, I would be very, very surprised, to say the least, if Newcastle United and all their Premier League history haven't unveiled someone ridiculous at half-time.
Oh, of course it will. But anyway, of course, after thanking himself that his beloved Newcastle United had never had one, or at least he's been attending. Of course, at the very next home game, this weekend's match against Liverpool, there was an embarrassing half-time presentation. With it being Freshers Week, and this Newcastle being a two-university city, there are rather a large amount of students in the city. Mike Ashley decided it was a good idea to have students from around the world who were attending the city's higher education establishments to partake in a penalty shootout. I don't think Mike Ashley was involved in the genesis of this idea, surely. He probably doesn't know what a university is. There were representatives from countries such as Vietnam, Nigeria, Ghana and Senegal. I couldn't quite make out what flag which was. This being Newcastle, things went quickly wrong. An Indian chap decided to take shots from behind the main group. We booed a German competitor.
Oh my goodness.
And then the man who presents the half-time entertainment began encouraging the fans to chant "Get 'em off" at the students.
Oh Jesus!
It was a truly shambolic display.
You should be embarrassed, Ewan, and I'm pleased you are.
So thank you, Embarrassed Geordie Ewan.
We won't shoot the messenger on this occasion. Though.
Yeah,
was the dizzy stick involved?
I don't know.
That is a Fratton Park special.
Yeah,
maybe the Indian guy had just hit Freshers Week massively, like had just been drunk out of his mind. Where's the goal? I'm having a crack.
I'll tell you what. Going on the piss with Mike Ashley, you'd imagine you'd have to do the dizzy stick before going to the bar.
Yeah, and obviously right by the fireplace.
Exactly. If you feel sick, in at the fireplace.
The way Portsmouth played at the weekend, they don't deserve anything after that.
Gareth Stobart says celebrity unveilings at half time.
Yeah,
At Lewis FC, we had Arthur Brown, the old fire-loving musician.
That's Lewis, I think.
Yeah. Lewis, sorry.
L-E-W-E-S, Lewis, right. Yeah.
It's around London somewhere, is that?
No, it's near Brighton. Yeah. It has the highest concentration of pagans in the UK.
There you go. That's why Arthur Brown was there then. The crazy world of Arthur Brown.
Yeah. Was he a pagan?
He looked like one. He had fire in his head.
He'd be welcome there.
He had fire in his head. But he said he came on the pitch in his old outfit and duly set fire to himself. This must have been something for the many kids that get in for free to basically see a pensioner setting himself on fire.
When there is nothing left to burn, you must set yourself on fire, as a man once said.
What they must have thought was going on. You know, self-immolation.
You know who Arthur Brown is, Marcus, right?
Yeah, right. Fire!
I'll teach you to burn.
It's a banging track, though, isn't it?
I mean, it's funny that he's had a career as long as he has, given that his unique selling point is literally setting himself on fire.
I hope he never tries to set himself on fire when he's around Kevin Keegan.
Well.
No, well.
We all know what would happen there.
What do you think about the fire? We'll just suck off of him.
or Terry McDermott, a lot of hairspray. So hello to Michael as well. He says Sugar Ray Leonard at a Sunderland match. That's a big celebrity at a big club.
That's very good.
American boxers particularly do a great line in being unveiled in whatever football team of the town they're fighting in,
yeah.
And they always wear the shirt. So you'll see, if you're not careful, you'll probably see American boxers who support about 8 different clubs.
A lot of shouts. I mean, our inbox was full of the weekends going on with Dean, Callum, Sean in Aberdeen, and about a million other people. Coolio at Celtic Park, I think we all saw that.
Well, I was about to say, I saw once when I was in the Netherlands. I happened to be there when the... He's kind of like, what would it be called? Like the European. Well,
when
Aguero
broke his arm, you were there.
I was there. Yeah. I was driving.
Oh,
an Uber.
You mean the European Football League of NFL like top team?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And my mates and I, we thought, why not? Hey, we're here. We might as well go along. And at halftime, Coolio did the performance.
Did he? What was the story behind Coolio at Celtic Park?
I think he's friends with whoever he was in.
Brendan Rodgers?
Yeah, definitely.
Whoever he was with, Celebrity. He was
Brendan Rodgers.
He was in Celebrity Big Brother with a footballer who I think played for Celtic. So I think
right.
He became friends.
Never saw him.
And for some reason, he appeared at halftime at Celtic Park to Gangster's Paradise.
Obviously,
belted out on the old PA.
It could well be that he's just involved in a local boxing match.
Well, he was wearing a cap. Coolio's gone full bald eagle, Jim Smith.
Right, okay.
But he refuses to let go of those tight little dreads. He's refusing to let go. There's sort of these weird kind of trees coming
out. A bit
like
Terebo West.
Yes.
All right, well, more power to his elbow. Listen, when it comes to Coolio, it's better to be a one-hit wonder than a no-hit wonder.
Mm. Right.
One email that you guys seem to want me to read out on the WhatsApp group. Simon saw me in Tokyo Airport week before last. Apparently, I was just by myself in a deserted part of the terminal.
Well, what Simon actually emailed with, and
why don't you know that?
And good on for good for you, to be fair, for actually reading this out.
Right,
enthusiastically as well.
I mean, for the record, we would have stitched you up with it anyway.
Yeah,
but okay. The Simon emailed in saying he saw you at an airport in Japan. I don't know which one. Not important. And he said it was Narita, the better one. It was either.
Oh, no, it wasn't. Was it Narita? Oh, okay, right. Okay.
Peter, nobody cares.
I've just figured out why I was there.
Okay, right. Well, but you can tell us this at the end. Okay. I'll need to tell the listeners what we're actually talking about. You were there an hour after the last flight to the UK left and 5 hours or 6 hours before the next one. So what were you even doing then?
What was Simon doing there?
Well, it's not a problem. He's not on the show.
Simon works there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was picking up some friends. So there we go.
Simon's a pilot. You leave him out of this. He's got every right to be there.
And by friends, I mean big canisters of aviation fuel,
which
fuels me.
Didn't you take a load of cans of Magnus cider over to Japan?
I did.
How'd they go down?
Chris Broad, a popular Japanese-based YouTuber, can't get, for love nor money, Magnus ciders. And we were staying in a hotel. And the hotelier, he said, bring 5 cans down and we'll drink them in the hotel bar, basically, which is weird. But the manager of the hotel thought it was a gift for him. And so he took them.
Oh, no. All right. So you can get them back.
Well, I couldn't really ask for them back. They were actually for Chris. But
He got half the side.
He got. I brought 10 cans over.
And before I do highlights of the week, you're 36 year old and you're hanging out with YouTubers in Japan. You're an embarrassment of.
you and your Chris Broads.
Highlights of the weekend. You want some?
Yeah, go on.
Let's do some before we. James Tortoise.
I had an insult ready, but I'll just leave it.
We can do it in a minute.
No, that's fine.
James Tortoise, regular contributor to the Ramble. He says, my highlight is Ricky Lambert calling it a day.
Yeah.
235 games, 117 goals, 100% Premier League penalty record. You can't argue with that.
What I love about this is as soon as Ricky Lambert's been linked to Crystal Palace, I'll retire.
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
No way am I doing that.
I've talked to Big Sam, he doesn't fancy it either.
Do you know what? It was. I just obviously saw Ricky Lambert retired and then had a little glance back over his career. Incredible.
Scored some great goals.
Yeah, scored with his first touch for England when he came on against Scotland.
Absolutely, and his career was a real fairy tale career.
Yes.
I mean, the famous bit of commentary, isn't it, that he was working at a beetroot jar factory 10 years ago or whatever, and he scored for it, and when he scored for it, his first goal for England.
Yeah.
And he really rose through the ranks at the age of about, I don't know, whatever age he was.
31, 30, I think he got his first England call.
But he got a big move to Liverpool as well. Yeah.
He was a dream move to Liverpool as well. Which was amazing. And
I forgot that.
He did play for England at a World Cup, and it was only a few minutes on a substitute appearance, and that
no one can take that away from him, can
no
they?
No one can.
But we were a big fan of the Ramble. I remember sort of, go on, come on.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely, of course. You've got to get behind someone like
Ricky
that.
Ricky Lambert celebrate.
Andrew Robertson mentioned, speaking of Crystal Palace, he said, my highlight of the week is Crystal Palace's goal of the month competition. Have you seen this? So basically, Crystal Palace, I don't know if it's a fan-run thing or the actual club. I mean, presumably it was a fan-run thing, although I would give the club huge credit. Their goal of the month competition, they ran Bakary Sakho's goal in the League Cup 5 times.
I'm loving that. Did they have the Lightning Seeds music on the top of it?
That'd be brilliant. That's what I want to know. Carl McKenna, curse of the ramble striking again in Sheffield United being beaten at Forest despite an excellent performance. Cheers, Luke, you shit. For those of you who don't remember, I was big in Sheffield United up last week and they lost. It started off so well. I think they went
not only did they lose, Sheffield Wednesday won as well.
Exactly, against Leeds. Mm. This is a good one. I thought I'd end with this one from Tom Crosby. My highlight of the week was being forced to abandon a game of five-a-side here in Wuhan, China, after a pitch invasion by hundreds of 18-year-olds. They were on some sort of compulsory and half-assed military training. We kept losing the ball in the middle of their ranks, and this was not pleasing to the square-headed PT instructors one bit, so the match was abandoned. I've lived abroad a while and have had games disrupted by cows in India, drunk businessmen in South Korea, and once by a low-flying Sea King helicopter back in East Yorkshire. I'm really curious to know how comprehensively some other Ramble listeners can outshine these stories of football disruptions. So if you've had a football game disrupted or abandoned for a ridiculous reason, and do provide evidence if you can, then let us know at show@thefootballramble.com, because I think that's a nice little thread.
I've got one. A boy hitting the manager's windscreen with his radio antenna, just whipping it.
Why? What, during the game?
Yeah, during the game.
What, so the antenna on the car?
And we just chased the kid away.
But why would that abandon the game in the middle of the
game? Because we ran out of time in the booking that we had.
It's not to do with this at all.
It's a lot to unpack there, Pete.
Yeah. Well, I play football in roguish places where people just whip the hell out of people's windscreen.
There was actually a pitch near where I grew up playing with a... what do you call it, like an electric power line running over it, so sometimes the ball would hit it. If the goalkeeper kicked it out, the ball would hit it.
What did it go?
It didn't really make a noise, you sort of hit the floor and hit the
sparks
ball.
Flew out.
No, yeah.
we played on a flyer a few times, didn't we, where it would bounce off of the underside of the road.
There's a lot of footballing under
that's the west way.
It's fun. That's in London. I've seen much London last
but it's just enjoyable. With a motorway.
Paul Robinson did that with the
screen
in the World Cup 2006.
He was aiming for it though, clearly, wasn't he? He's going, I'm going to hit that.
Well, fair enough, eh?
Yeah, if you can do it, do it.
There was talk, and I can't remember exactly where this was, and it wasn't the game I was involved with, but I think it might have been near where I grew up. There was a guy in the Sunday League game who was sent off, and he got so angry, got in his car and drove onto the pitch trying to get the referee.
That sort of stuff
would be good. Let's hear about that.
Wonderful.
I just noticed a final email from Joe Walsh in Davidson, US. I'm not sure where Davidson is, but he just says, have you got any football book recommendations? Where were you in October?
Yeah.
Joe, that's what I would say.
Oh, Johnny Come
where
Lately.
Where were you in October?
Johnny Come Lately.
The Football Ramble book, Joe, obviously, mate.
Yeah, available from all moderate booksellers. Mm.
Indeed. We move on to St James's Park, where Rafa Benitez was given a wonderful message of support from the Newcastle faithful during the Rafa derby between Newcastle and Liverpool. Of course, the message read, "We follow you everywhere," which is, I mean, it depends where he goes, of course. "We'll always have you back." That's more like it. "For all the lies, we will never doubt you. We are with you." This was a quote from, I think fans said this to Rafa Benitez when he was in charge of Valencia. But Jamie Carragher early in the week said to the Geordies, "Enjoy Rafa while you can." Well, it looks like they are, Jim.
Yeah, very much so. And you know what? It makes such a difference to Newcastle. I'm sure you'll agree with this, Pete.
The flags.
No, when you can tell they love the team again. You can tell they're not frustrated by them. They're not angry with them. And I know that obviously there's this stress around, you know, the thought that Rafa isn't going to be around for much longer because he's not getting what he wants. But you can really feel it. There's a real sort of energy behind Newcastle.
It's just rare to sort of have a manager who seems to have some level of competency.
Well, exactly.
But were they massive brain problems?
But were they? But were they angry with the team, do you think? Because they're clearly angry with the owner.
There's times where I think that's translated into the team. And, you know, they all go together. You know, they're angry with the owner because the team aren't performing, you know?
I think the performance at the end of the day against Liverpool was kind of important simply because it was a system. They seemed to react to the opposition. You know, the Liverpool enjoyed to hit them on the break and stuff, so they just camped out in their 18-yard box. So it was just nice to see them look at the opposition and go, right, this is how we're going to play. And it kind of worked.
Well, to keep Liverpool at bay.
I mean, Liverpool missed about a million chances.
They did.
Well.
That was something that definitely happened. Well,
but it was a good point, though, for Newcastle. I mean, Coutinho scored a wonderful goal. And for Liverpool fans, it's encouraging that he's a red again.
Very much so.
You know, with those goals.
And all this is set against the backdrop of a possible takeover for Newcastle, isn't it?
Well, it's like dream team. Because they kept on having shots of the broker or the perceived broker.
It's Amanda Staveley.
Amanda Staveley, yeah.
She was involved in the Man City takeover, and I think she was involved in the failed Liverpool takeover as well.
Is that
right? She's an intermediary for a lot of Middle Eastern...
Imagine announcing that, right, on like a Tuesday afternoon that Mike Ashley is gone. Like, the big market would be a state. It would be on
You'd
for
be
fire.
Up there. You'd be up there.
Pete, the weekend...
Remember when I phoned you and Alan Shearer took the reins at Newcastle?
4 a.m. Yeah.
All right.
Weekday.
All right.
You would hear about that and then wake up like 3 days later in the stadium.
That's almost an FA
The
Cup
weekend
final
would start
for me.
on the Tuesday afternoon. We take the rest of the week off. Yeah.
That incident that Pete said then when he called me at 4 a.m. when Alan Shearer took the job, really happy with himself. That was the straw that broke the camel's back for me. And from then on, from that moment forward, I've always had my phone on Do Not Disturb at night.
Didn't mention Ian Dowie as an assistant, though. That's
no,
thing.
That's the main thing. But it will be curious to watch developments over the next week or two to see what happens there, because the big problem at Newcastle has always been the unpopularity of the ownership. And if they can square that away and perhaps fast forward to January and give Benitez what he wants, I mean, Newcastle could be a force in the Premier League. I say that with reticence because I know it can...
Look at the money that Everton have spent this
That's gone brilliantly.
It's gone incredibly well, but imagine that.
Yeah, but John's had a lovely through ball, didn't he?
John's did, yeah. I mean, obviously...
He's capable of that.
Talking about those who ran the club, of course, your tributes for Freddie Shepherd came in.
Yeah.
The man who brought Alan Shearer to the club, sadly.
He brought a lot
recently.
Of players to the club, and he tried to bring, like, everybody else, from Baggio to Rivaldo to... I think NUFC.com sort of summed it up best. Like, we had a lot of disagreements with how he ran the club, but it certainly was never dull.
And he certainly
put money in.
But going back to John Joe Shelvey, he was on fine form.
Liverpool gave him a lot of space and time.
He found it.
Don't
take that away from him.
Gave him a lot of space and time, which I thought was weirdly disrespectful to a player who can spray balls around like nobody's business.
The technique of his passing when he sprays the ball around is an absolute delight. Danny Murphy was full of praise and saying, you know, he should get another England call-up if he continues to put in performances like that and not do anything stupid.
He's just come off a suspension for doing something stupid.
Yeah.
He can't do that.
Isn't this the perfect time to not do that again, though?
Well, speaking of England, former Newcastle manager Alan Pardew, writing in his column in the Mail, wrote, "It is World Cup year." It isn't, Alan, but I know what you mean. I am getting excited about how promising the England team could look. The strikers in particular are bang in form. With Harry Kane playing like that, you can't argue with old Pardew. He's getting the same World Cup fever that I am, ladies and gentlemen, quite frankly. And with Shelvey now in that side, knocking the balls long, my giddy up.
Can we get him a jab?
Can I also just say that Shelby's not in the squad, so no. he's not
at the moment.
No, he's not going to be doing that just
moment.
Yet.
I mean, you saw that performance, though. I thought shooting from corners.
I thought it was fine. I didn't think he was. I mean, it was a great through ball for a pretty important goal.
It was a lovely ball.
Ramble favourite Hosseloo.
Yeah, which Hosseloo did his best to
dispatch
sort of
beautifully,
desecrate.
But Liverpool's defence stepped up.
He's a great target man, but he doesn't do much else.
Who's a great target man?
Hosseloo. He's got a bit of presence to him. And he held the ball up.
Hosseloo threw on goal, one-on-one, managed to turn that into Joel Matip making a brilliant challenge, but then he still scored again. It was the most difficult passage of play to keep up with.
Yeah.
What's happening here?
Matip did it, in terms of recovery, did everything right.
Yeah.
He was so unlucky. Yeah.
Because with Liverpool, without getting too boring, Liverpool pushed up really high and tried to squeeze the play, and then... It was great for John Joe Shelvey to be able to find that space, to be able to break that pressure off the ball. There was one moment where they weren't pressuring him when he had the ball, and he played that through ball, which meant Liverpool were going to get caught out because they pushed so high up.
But it just seemed to be the two defenders didn't know whose ball it was, you know, so they were kind of like...
But Hosseloo still managed to conspire to let Matip do a brilliant piece of defending. Yeah. He was just really unlucky, which is the way Liverpool are going.
All joking aside with John Joe Shelvey, if you have a player like that in your side who can play beautiful long passes like that, then the problem is for a team that is a superior side playing against you, who like to push and squeeze you into your own half or final third even, it's always a threat with Shelby because he can get an out ball.
I just don't know how he's got so much time. I said this at the back end of the championship, he was having a lovely time in the championship, he was playing some beautiful balls, but I said he's not going to get that time, he's not going to get that space in the Premier League, but he has.
Yeah, but he can find it. You have to give him an ounce of credit. Yes, he may, the Liverpool side may have not tracked him as much as they could, but he also, there is a skill in finding space, and I think if he picks up the ball and you have a bit of pace on the break, then
as soon as
you always
start marking him out of the game, though, I just think he's just going to be surplus to requirements.
It might be something to do with the fact that Liverpool have a lot of forward thinking players, and so they don't necessarily they're not the best in discipline when it comes to protecting the back four and all that, which is part of their problem.
But
anyway.
They like to press though.
They press the defence, but they don't necessarily press the middle of the park. Maybe, I don't know.
I'm just trying to get excited for one of your players, Peter.
Well, I'm trying to dispel such notions.
This is your World Cup fever talking.
Yeah. you got Pardew Daily Mail column fever, mate.
Get him on the plane.
Pardew? No way.
Good gods.
He'll be out there. He's a pundit now. He'll be involved. One of the reasons why I think Liverpool won't win the league is because them drawing at Newcastle isn't an eye-catching result.
No, it's not a huge surprise.
No, it's not surprising, though.
I think part of the problem as well is... You were saying recently, Luke, that you feel this defensive issue, and obviously they were unlucky with the situation of the goal, is probably what's going to do for Klopp. But you think, I mean, where Liverpool are at the moment, they have to be looking at regularly being in the Champions League. And if you look at Spurs, City, Chelsea and Man United, they just look better than Liverpool. And you think if they don't qualify for the Champions League this season, that could be what does for Klopp.
I heard today that they're doing an awful lot of work on the training ground with set pieces, Liverpool, because I think only Leicester have conceded more goals from set pieces so far this season, and I've heard that Liverpool are trying to put that to bed and sort it out.
Yeah.
But if that's the case, and Klopp just feels like he hasn't got good enough defenders to deal with that sort of stuff, or a good enough overall team defensive unit, and you wonder why they didn't sort of bring anyone in. You know, I know they tried to, but they didn't manage to do so.
Well, Klopp's under an ounce of pressure, but another man in the City of Liverpool who's under a little bit more pressure, you could say, is Ronald Koeman. A bad result against Burnley, of course, at home. Great win for Burnley, though. My goodness, they're going well. Koeman said he was not unhappy with his team's attitude. Mm. Now, if you look at their results, and you pointed this out before we came live. We're not live. The mics went on. This is the only game, really, that Everton can legitimately say in the league that they should have had a much better result. They should have won the game.
Their performance against Spurs was really poor, and Spurs are a good team.
The manner of one or two of their performances is to be questioned, but Spurs are a better side than Everton.
They've had a tough run of fixtures. They've got a lot of injuries, and they've had a lot of new players to sort of bed in, I suppose. The only thing I would say about the Burnley game is that Burnley are always going to play a certain way, and they're very good at it. And I think this game was perfect as an example of the problems with the profile of player that Everton have signed. Calvert-Lewin aside, who looked decent and looked sharp and quick and all the rest of it, they were so narrow. Like Marcus, you've said this a couple of weeks running now. They're so narrow, and the way to beat a team like Burnley when they set up like that is to drag the play back and forward, try and drag them out of position, switch the play over and over again. And Everton were just so narrow, they weren't able to penetrate in any way. So it did play into Burnley's hands a little bit, but they have had a difficult run, Everton, in terms of fixtures. They're getting used to European football as well, don't forget. So I wonder whether the Koeman pressure is a little bit more pronounced than perhaps it is in reality in terms of the media coverage of it. And also the chairman did come out today and said, no, this is not happening. And we are supporting him.
Yeah, and chairman's words are always to be trusted.
Well, no, I think in this case, though, he does back him.
In this case.
Listen, it'll be hilarious when he gets fired in about 2 hours.
No, I do agree with you, Jimmy.
Yeah, I think, well, it's not a surprising result, is it? Everton did play well, but I think opposition managers are going to be looking at how sort of wonky Everton's setup is and thinking, you know what, all we're going to need here is just actually to be quite organised, and then they'll undo themselves, basically. Because the talk of that narrowness, when you play like that, you're effectively denying yourself space through your system, which is what you can see the sort of the almost clog in that number 10 position. It's a strange old thing that keeps tripping them up.
Sean Dyche thought to himself, all we need is one 24 pass move.
Yeah. Absolutely. And what a little passage of play or a little kind of touch from Hendrick to take Schneiderlin out of the game. Just absolutely left him for dead with that. That was a beautiful piece of footwork.
It's the Jeff Hendrick experience, mate.
Indeed.
He got it full on there. I mean, it was a great 24 pass move. They were slightly fortunate when the cross came in, but they nearly lost control of the ball. They got it back under, and they got their goal, and it's brilliant. And Burnley have got a great team spirit. We talked about Man City having a great team spirit. You know, for slightly different reasons, obviously, they set up very differently. Burnley, Sean Dyche, he's doing such a great job there. They've had great wins on the road this season. OK, if they went to Stamford Bridge, it might not be as easy pickings as it was, but still, they've got the win there. They've got a good point away to Spurs. They've got a great win away to Burnley. And they've got some good players coming through.
No, away to Everton, not away to Burnley.
Obviously, they're always James Tarkowski's getting a lot of attention, as he should be. Could find himself in an England squad pretty soon. They're sixth on the same points as Liverpool, one behind Arsenal. Wouldn't it be great if they won the league, Jim?
It would be good, wouldn't it? Yeah. I have to say, I sort of wondered for Burnley how they get on at the start of the season, because quite often when a team gets up and they stay up by really grinding things out and being tough, compact and organised to beat, you know, that takes a toll after a time. But they seem, despite being so organised, there seems to be a sort of freedom to that mentally. They all just seem to be enjoying it.
Right, exactly. And that team spirit is absolutely it. But do you think that now they've established themselves as a Premier League side, they've started the season very well. There's nobody talking relegation terms with Burnley. Now, they may toe the line of, our position is always to try and stay in the league. But at home, against lesser or similar opposition, do you think Dyche now has to think about taking the game to teams a little bit more?
That's an interesting one, because, I mean, he's got to look at his team and think, do I have the personnel to do this? Am I just going to sort of, you know, take the risk of us abandoning what we do well and then perhaps dropping points where we shouldn't and sort of shaking a little bit of that self-confidence? So I don't know. It seems to be working for them. So, I mean, I guess it would be tempting to really sort of open it up against Swansea at home or whatever. But I just wonder if with what he's built, does he run the risk of creating cracks in those foundations by doing that?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting point. We're going to go abroad, ladies and gentlemen, after this.
It was like the parting of the Red Sea. People just went, whoop.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Do not forget the preview show sponsored by Bet365 is out on Friday morning. Our man in the chair was close to a hat-trick, but not quite, Luke.
No, this would have been his second win, not his third.
I thought he was on a double.
No, I think that was his second. He had a good win last week, but he went for over 3.5 goals in Liverpool-Newcastle. The show just gone. Didn't come in, so he's out of there.
Oh, I thought he was on a hat-trick.
We were getting ahead of ourselves, I think.
Sorry.
Yeah, but
you were on a hat-trick.
He's out there. I was on a hat-trick. Don't let that be forgotten. So we're looking for a new man in the hot seat, or indeed woman. So do get in touch, show@thefootballramble.com with that, and I will pick one this week.
Of course, if you do get a hat-trick, you get an ORE.
Order of the Ramble Empire.
Yeah.
Is that a new thing?
It's a new thing. Which Luke failed to get.
I did. Well, yeah. We thought of it last week, Pete, so I should have given you an email about that. Sorry, mate.
Well, I listened to the previous show as I was walking through the streets of Japan, and I enjoyed it immensely.
Oh, did
immensely.
You? Oh, you're such a delight.
You were the one.
Yes. You were the one.
That enjoyed it.
You're just going to go into a ballad, I thought, there. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, a lot has happened in Europe this last week. My goodness, a lot of stuff. We will be talking about that on the continent, all the stuff about Barcelona and Catalonia, of course. Carlo Ancelotti losing his job at Bayern Munich and so much more. That's on the continent. A different feed, of course, from the Football Ramble. However, there is one story from Europe which we are going to talk about. A little update on Swiss club FC Sion president Christian Constantin, who physically assaulted a commentator a few weeks ago pitch side after he had the commentator, of course, called Constantin a narcissist with no empathy, so he beat him up.
Quite a Swiss insult, that.
Indeed, yeah. Well, Constantin has been charged, but came out and said, "Well, I apologise for this as club president. Of course I should, but I will not."
I love that. I know what I should be doing in this situation, but I'm not going to do it.
Is he not going to go to prison for this? I mean, an assault?
He should, but he's not going to.
You're talking shite again.
I don't know if he should be going to prison for one grown man sort of pushing another grown man.
Was it pushing when he said assault?
It was pitch side.
Yeah.
Right. Dragged him out
so
the
there's no shortage of witnesses. that's the bad news. Imagine his lawyer.
Like that steward.
Imagine his lawyer coming, right, shut up, you haven't said anything, have you? No, good, right, get out, police officer. Right, where did you do it? In a packed football stadium. Oh, really?
Was there a floodlight failure? No, it was all on.
How many people were there? 10,000. As many as 10,000. Was there really?
Are you going to apologise? No.
I should.
Yeah, but I won't.
I think I saw a video of a Burnley fan celebrating and a steward jumping over the hoardings just dragging him out. I'm failing to see what that lad did to warrant it. There seems to be some strange stewarding decisions.
Was that Burnley?
He could have had his willy out. I don't know.
Maybe he questioned Dyche's tactics.
Well, I was about to say, Pete's threshold for shocking behaviour is a lot higher than other people's.
It is, yeah. I'm very forgiving.
Yeah, you are.
Indeed, yes. Mm. Shall we go to Brazil, gentlemen?
Fancy it. Well, I'm a bit jet lagged already, to be honest, mate.
Yeah, just got back.
I know, jeez.
The continent where we'd have a little bit of reggaeton, Peter.
Pete should have gone straight there.
The old sambar spirit. What?
The old sambles. Get your sambas on. Ibis Sport from the northeast of the country, or Ibis Sport. I'll say Ibis, otherwise it sounds silly. From
which
my
the hotel brand.
That's Ibis, yeah.
Ibis.
They're from the northeast of Brazil. They play in the lowest division of the Pernambuco Championship and are self-dubbed the worst team in the world. This was a piece in The Guardian, very interesting indeed. They were officially crowned the worst team in the world after going 3 years and 11 months without winning a match in the 80s, which is quite spectacular. They're deeply concerned at the moment, though, as the side have won three in a row. It could have been four. I couldn't find their result on Sunday, funnily enough. The Pernambuco Championship doesn't rank high on the Google search engine. But so they've won three in a row. Could have been four, but definitely three in a row. And the fans feel this is ruining their identity. Now, Pete Donaldson, if this is not the team for you. I don't know what is.
Diehard Ibis Sport fan.
Right up my street. This is right up my strata.
I'll tell you what, if there's a successful takeover in Newcastle, he's going to Ibis Sport. It's like when the Glazers took over at United and all those fans started supporting FC United. Yeah.
This is your FC United, Peter. Yeah.
This is my feeder club.
Indeed. Well, after the team won their third straight match, fans piled into a bar where the players were having a drink to celebrate the win, and the fans asked them to stop winning.
Yeah, one fan said, "This is destroying our history."
Pete, this is you all over.
What do they go to the football for? Where's the joy?
I don't know.
To enjoy the opposition, presumably.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, other fans weren't on social media to complain.
They are from the northeast. I mean,
yes.
I like this. Your interest is peaked, isn't it? Yeah. I can tell.
What's the kit look like?
Major
airport?
One of the fans complained on social media saying, "This is a worrying situation in the long term. To stop being an icon and to just be another winning team, it's the coach's fault." Doing his job.
Love it.
Doing his job. And this is great. A former player for them, a midfielder called Mauro Shampoo. That has to be a nickname.
Have you seen a picture of Mauro Shampoo?
Well, hence the nickname.
Yeah. It is a magnificent
perm. Oh, it's a nickname.
He's their conditioning coach, I think.
he boasts that he only scored one goal in 10 years and said this winning is bad for the team's brand.
I think if he gets...
Something's come along and burst our bubble.
I think he could... I think he could really shine if he was given a bit of chance.
Love that.
Yeah. I expected more from you. Hey. Rather than just a shampoo song.
Well, at the moment, Luke, it's damage repair, yeah. Isn't it?
It's damage repair, yeah.
I'll let you get
for
all
those of you
who
really
shower shit.
What are you talking
you
about?
A shower of shit?
You have to let yourself down, boy.
Shower?
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. I do get it. No. It's not a pun, though, is it? Just saying shower of shit.
I'm just letting you get on with your shower of shit.
Okay, thanks, right? Mate. Yeah.
Oh, there we are.
I'm surprised you got through the naming of that particular division, not doing the chant.
Which chant? Nino.
La, 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 la.
I haven't heard it for ages.
Pernambucano.
It's a different word, la, though. La, unless Marcus has done a characteristic typo in the running order.
I presumed he had to.
Yeah, same, yeah.
Well, you got it wrong again.
Well, all right.
Okay. Still jet lagged, are you?
My head's full of shampoo.
Indeed. The club president wants the team to reach the first division despite the fans.
I love this.
Imagine that thing.
Swimming upstream. Brilliant. Stream's full of shampoo.
Yeah, indeed,
very
yeah.
Difficult.
They get promoted and then there's nobody in the stadium to watch them.
Except Pete, who's just gutted that they've got promoted.
Pete will be the president of the Supporters Association.
I'll be the Gallagher flag.
Oh, my goodness. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the return of Going for Gold.
Thank you.
Gold.
Oh, this. We've got to play this now, haven't we? When they're going
for gold.
That's done.
Oh, it's going for gold all the time.
Gold.
I thought I'd been mispronounced.
Have you done one?
What?
In advance?
No, I've done the reverse. I've come back. What?
Have you done one in advance?
Steve Gartshaw.
Is it Mauro shampoo? Because if it is, I just nip it in the bud.
If it is, you wouldn't get the point because it hasn't begun.
That's true.
It's James Wash and Gore.
Yeah, who's done it?
Steve Gartshaw.
This is an email from Vidal Sassoon.
Vidal Sassoon, possibly a footballer. I mean, we've got Vidals in the game, haven't we?
Arturo Vidal Sassoon.
I mean, that applies to anyone with a name, though, doesn't it?
What I would say is, Steve, don't put the name of the player right at the top of the email because I will read it out by accident.
I didn't see it, so it's
no.
fine. It's
no, okay. No, I'm saying, but I will read it out. Clean room one. Thank you, Steve, for this because I'm a bit disorganised this week and I needed this.
Yeah,
I was
normally do them yourself,
in
don't you? Sorry, go on.
I was born in London on the 31st of October, 1974. Can we get a Summer of Love, Luke? We haven't had one for a little while.
That is 7.5 years after the Summer of Love.
Stop. Right. Ray Wilkins.
74? He made his debut before
oh,
that.
Yeah, no.
He worse than that live show Pele guy.
You know what? I saw an old episode of Catchphrase the other day, and you know when people are shouting things like, banana
eh?
Tin, banana fake, like nonsensical things. That's what this game is like, listeners. I did massively.
For those who weren't at the live show that we last did at the London Podcast Festival, just to fill people in, there was a going for gold game. The clue was, I'm the top scorer in my country's history, and I was born in 1980, and someone went, Pele!
Another man shouted something absolutely dreadful.
Yeah, he did. We can't do that.
No. We're not going to.
Go on, carry on.
I started my career at Chelsea.
Stop, Ray Wilkins.
Stop, Jody Morris.
No.
Stop. Can I have another guess? We'll have to wait.
No, you got to wait, mate.
I think I know it is.
Wait,
stop,
mate.
Kerry Dixon.
No, come on.
That is outrageously poor, Jim. You're in a terrible run of form.
You're having a Pele moment.
I was part of a losing team against Brazil in the 2002 World Cup. How's that?
Stop.
How's that gone with your clue?
Is it Eddie Newton?
It's not Eddie Newton.
Stop. Danny Mills.
No.
Just wondered if he was like in the youth team there.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Good shout.
I made 9 international caps for my country.
Stop. Trevor Sinclair.
Incorrect. I won 2 League Cups during my career.
Go on.
Stop. No, carry on.
Carry on.
My brother played for Colchester.
Stop.
Go on, get it. Get it! Get
no,
it in
I don't
there.
Know, I was gonna
take
say,
a shot.
No, I don't know who it is.
Take a shot. Do a Harry Kane. I played international football for Turkey.
Ooh. Oh, very, very good.
Come on, then. Who is it? Come on, spell it.
Muzzy, is it?
It is Muzzy.
Well done, mate.
Congratulations, Marcus. Well done, Marcus. I played in midfield for Leicester City, and that's all of our clues. Steve Gartshaw, thank you for that particular nomination for Golf Club and the clues. What a dude.
Well done to him and to me.
Well done, Marcus. Yeah.
Am I in the lead now?
I think you are. You started off very slowly.
I was on a plane listening to both Monday shows and I fell asleep at like halfway.
Leave it there.
Not halfway through, but like literally really close to the end. So I couldn't remember whether you guys did go on
football
in my
it.
Absence.
We didn't do it.
Okay,
no, out of respect.
Good.
Yeah, out of respect.
The sanctity of a competition that I get the listeners to do for me.
Mm. Exactly. Well,
Pete at thefootballramble.com.
With you, we take what we can get.
But it has been lovely having you back, Pete.
Expect less, that's what I say. Yeah. With the old Dotty Dogs.
Ibis Sport. That's your team.
That's my team.
There we are. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. It's been an absolute pleasure. Do get in touch with the show at thefootballramble.com for any occasions that you've had a match interrupted.
Yeah, why not? That sounds like it might be fun.
Yeah.
And don't forget to check out, as Marcus said earlier, On the Continent every Wednesday. Search On the Continent wherever you get your podcast. There's lots to talk about in Europe this week.
There's new topics. There's Bother Brassel. There's
Harass Horncastle.
What do we have this week, Luke?
Someone suggested mix it up with more. Seduce Speller. There you go.
I like it a lot.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks very much for listening. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter.
See you later.
Bye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces
three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.